thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He alone is the reason we're here today. He alone is worthy of our worship. He alone is worthy of us tuning in on the radio today, or wherever you brought us up, and sitting just a few feet from me, coming back through the Greenville area again is Kevin. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, sir.
How you doing, brother?
Well, I am going forward. I drove all day, 7 hours to get back here. Just missed you too much, Doug.
Yeah.
Actually had a doctor's appointment, so there's good reason to be here, too.
It's all working together for the glory of God, anyway.
Amen.
God can use this for his glory. So as we move forward, I've been thinking, you know, we're still dealing with a colder winter than normal here, but it's been pretty these last few days, and just a real sunny, beautiful day. I know Kevin was down in Florida, and it was just rainy. It looked terrible from what I could see on different social media sites, people complaining about being cold and rainy. I had friends of mine at Disney World said, we couldn't have picked a worse week to spend all our family saved money to go to Disney World, and they're wearing rain jackets. And you know, of course, you spend $110 for a Mickey Mouse rain jacket that you'll wear once and never wear again. But folks, so as we look at the scripture today, we continue on. We're doing an exegetical study. We know that. Looking verse by verse at the book of John, we're going to be banging into the, we said we'd go from here right into the Olivet Discourse, and we'd over in Matthew, and then we'll look at sign miracles. We're going to continue on. We're going to be making sure that we covered every miracle with you. We're going to make sure that we covered the crucifixion from the synoptic point of view as well as John. We just want to keep on banging along. But we want to start today by talking about peace. If you look at the verses, you know, Christ being here for us brought us peace. Christ being in our hearts, working through the Holy Spirit of God that's in your heart. Can I tell you, friends, you know, the entire Trinity ministers through you, through the Holy Spirit of God in your heart. And we got to have an open heart to allow the Holy Spirit to do that. We got to tune in. We got to listen in. We do our Bible reading, our Bible studying. But I think we see peace, and we're going to see a lot of that today. And we see in the Bible over in 2 Thessalonians 3:16, now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. Over in John 16:33, I love this area. We covered it not too long ago in this particular broadcast, but it says, these things I have spoken unto you that ye might have peace. In a world ye shall have tribulation. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And then reminded us that this peace overcoming the world, we're reminded over there in Philippians 4, but be careful for nothing but everything by prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God. I slipped that in there for a couple reasons, is one of which is you want that peace, you got to be tuned in. You got to be prayed up. You got to be hooked to the peace. I remember when I was in the Army, one of the things that I was trying to figure out when I was like 17 to 30 is, what do we do in the Army? What is this all about? I mean, every day you go in, every day you're preparing to go to war, every day you're training, every day you're getting to know the guy next to you, and that's peacetime. And I'm like, what in the world are we doing? And then it hit me. We had to be ready. We constantly had to be tuned into what the Army expected of us, be tuned into the weapons and knowledge we had, be tuned in with each other. But most important, to know what that chain of command expected from us. And when we did that, man, the Army was a good place to be. But can I tell you, a relationship with Jesus Christ is like, you need to be tuned in. You need to be part of that relationship. It's, you know, it's hard to be a husband and wife if you're not talking. It's hard to be a husband and wife when you're deployed or farther away. But when you have that daily conversation, when you go to God, Kevin, I mean, you get that peace that passes all understanding. The peace he talks about, not as the world has peace, Kevin. No, we're talking about God's peace here.
Yeah, you just stole my verse. Philippians 4:7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And this is what I was thinking while you were talking. You were training for war in a time of peace because it was meant to keep the peace. And if there was ever an interruption of the peace, then you could take up arms and go and do what was necessary to restore the peace. And, you know, we're in spiritual warfare, Doug. We have an enemy of our relationship with God, and he's an enemy of God, and so he's trying to separate people from God and his peace. And even when we're at times of peace, you know, I think we should really protect this this peace in our hearts. I think we should really train. You know, why do we read our Bible when we're walking with the Lord? And so we can keep walking with the Lord. Why do we pray when we get up in the morning, even when we're, you know, just don't feel like it, or just, you know, we're not in any desperate case? Because we want to keep that position where all is well between us and God. And, you know, this is an axiom. If we keep the peace of God, the peace of God will keep us. And that's what we just read in Philippians 4:6. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts. That word keep means guard, I do believe. I don't have it open in front of me as far as I have the verse, but I don't have that word. But that word is probably keep, because that's the usage in our Bible typically of the word keep, is to guard, you know, a keeper of the gate. So if you want your peace kept, then you need to be vigilant. And the peace of God will keep your hearts in mind. In fact, I just read the book of Colossians, and I finished it the other day, but Colossians 3:15 says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you're also called in one body, and be ye thankful." And I was thinking as I was reading that, like, Lord, you know, I was at the time going through a terrible sickness. I had been to that meeting in Florida, and it seems like half the church got sick. Thankfully, it wasn't COVID. It got tested. It wasn't even the flu. There was a horrible allergy, the kind that turns the ground yellow. Mm. And it had hit us. Be careful. It's coming up here. I know the Carolinas get that a lot, at least there in eastern North Carolina. But when we were down there, it seemed like half the sick, so many of the preachers went to the doctor for a respiratory thing. And I got bronchitis. I had upper respiratory infection. But fact, when I was feeling bad the week after that conference, and I was reading the book of Colossians, I remember thinking, Lord, I don't feel any peace, you know, but I do want to let it rule. So what do you do when the ruler, which should be the peace of God, the one that has the final say, is not, you know, extant? He doesn't seem present. He doesn't feel present. You're not hearing his voice as much. I don't know about you. When I get sick, Doug, I'm sick, it seems like, in every way.
Yeah.
And you're just saying, God, I can't feel you. But fact is, I want to let the peace of God rule in my heart, and I want to keep that peace, because if I don't have the peace and I don't keep it and I don't let it rule and I don't get up in the morning and say, oh, King, I'm seeking your face, I don't feel you, then pretty soon that peace of God's going to evaporate and we'll have to replace it in some other way. And I don't want to be that way, Doug.
Yeah, no, I got to tell you, you know, sickness is a total disturbance in our force. You know, I mean, it takes everything. And I know some of you who are listening to me are dealing with these long-term chronic and I get that. You know, I deal with fibromyalgia, among other things. But when something comes along and bites us, boy, I think that's one of those times that we just go to the Lord. We're a little bit closer with God, aren't we? And we say, oh, God, get me through this day. And in Kevin's case, here I am with my camper in Lake City, Florida. I'm here with these preachers. I'm trying to feel good. And I got all these things going on. But thinking about this peace, finding peace in that, you know, and it's hard to find peace when you're sick and you're not feeling that good. And you know, it's that idea of casting all your care upon him. And,
yeah.
You know, when you're sick, there's only one place you can go. You know, those of us who are married, I kind of become a baby. You know, it's just like, leave me on my recliner, put a blanket on me, and, you know, run to Jersey Mike's and get me a sub, baby. And I'll do the same for her. I mean, I'll you know, totally understand. That's part of married life. But I think, you know, going back to this piece, and I was looking at a verse from Hebrews that, you know, it always kind of captures my attention when I talk about peace. But follow peace with all men in holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. And I thought about that in the book of Hebrews. You know, I thought about that as we studied doctrine for peace and things of that nature. And this comes to my mind that we have a responsibility. You know, we have this responsibility to follow peace with all men, not look for war, not look in battle. And I mean, there's sometimes you just got to get away from people. And I think Kevin and I would both tell you right now, some people stink, all right? And you got to get... But where you have an opportunity, friends, this peace, not only take the peace into your own heart, but share it. Mm. It can change your family.
Mm.
It can change a life. You know, it can, folks, it can change a neighborhood. You know what I mean? It can change everything when you find that peace. And that peace only comes from God, and that peace is yours. Follow peace with all men and holiness. You know, remain holy. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the almighty hand of God. I mean, it kind of all goes together. Find that peace. With that peace comes a humility. You say, you know, I've got a peace that a lot of people in this world would do anything to get. Mm. Folks, listen, we're going to come right back. We're going to be looking at the Bible. Hang with us. We'll be right back with you. May God bless you.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Well, folks, as we continue to move on, talking about this idea of peace, I want to look at the scripture for today, and I think you'll find a lot in it. Where here we are, the crucifixion has taken place. The Lord's been brought to the tomb, and we remember from last Friday that they went to the tomb and Christ wasn't there. Some things are going on, and now we see they were questioning, you know, Mary was questioning, where's the Lord, and Mary Magdalene. We see here it says, Jesus saith unto her, in verse number 17 of the book of John, chapter 20, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. So what, you know, the Bible saying, the Lord saying, I haven't been to heaven. I don't want you touching this old dead body. I'm going to ascend with my Father, then I'll be holy. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, into my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Now, in my mind, Kevin, all right, so even before I go to verse 19, I'll go there real quick. But in my mind, here comes Mary. And they're wondering, has she been hanging out with those opie plants over there, eating those flowers? I mean, has she stopped at one of these dispensaries in Washington State and got herself some good pot? I mean, I don't know what they're thinking. But Mary was seriously, you know, as I thought about that, she had become a serious Christian who loved the Lord, was there for the crucifixion, was all in, was going back to the disciples, and God took that right out of my mind. And then it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for the fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. And so here we got this post-resurrection appearance going on, and here's Christ with his disciples, Mary Magdalene, and he's, you know, I mean, it's going. And what does he say? He could have said, there's so many things the Lord could have said. No matter what he said, he was the Holy One, the High One. We follow his cues. We follow his lead. And he chooses to say, peace be unto you. And that signifies, I think, the peace that we get through Christ and when we have victory over death. And I don't know why, but in my mind, I always go to death when I look at this. And I think as people, one of the toughest things we go through is having to cross that river. One of the toughest things we go through is when we pass away and all those things. But now all of a sudden, God gave us his victory over sin. He showed us victory over death. He's talking about how important it is that they have peace. Here they are. They're hiding from the Jews. They're all that. And Kevin, what does he do? He looks at them, right? He looks at them and says, you know, peace be unto you. You know, trust in my promises. Trust in me. Peace be unto you. And I'll tell you, I like that.
I like it too. How much we need him to do that. And, you know, that's peace is like a baseline that we have in our lives to make it through anything. And I think that, like we were saying before the break, that if we don't maintain that peace, then we don't have the strength. You know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Joy and peace go together. Jesus over and over, especially in John 14, 15, 16, talked about the peace. And in the same context of him talking about giving us peace, he said, I go away, but I'm going to give you peace. The Holy Spirit, the Comforter, is going to live inside of you, and you're going to have peace and joy. No one's going to take away from you. And in that context is what Jesus is dealing with here, because when he told, just going through the scripture that you were reading, when he told Mary, Jesus saith unto her, Mary, and she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I'm not yet ascended to my Father. So she evidently was like falling down and probably grabbing him around his ankles type of thing. Yeah. And he said, don't do that. Now's not the time. And I've always taken that as a token of, you know, to think it through. What's he going to do when he ascends up? Well, we know this, that when he ascended, it said in the book of Hebrews extensively, talks about him going into the holy place, Hebrews 9:12, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of an heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. Then verse 24 says that, 24, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figure of the true, but into heaven itself, not appearing in the presence of God for us. So he entered in and offered his blood. Verse 25 says, entered into the holy place. Verse 26 says he suffered one time and entered into he offered his blood. So a big transaction happened. When he ascended, he took the blood of the covenant and put it on the mercy seat in heaven. Of course, Hebrews talks about there's a heavenly temple, mm-hmm. after which was modeled the earthly temple. So God's got a temple in heaven, whether it's made for our sake to be able to understand and see things. I don't know how long it's been there. But that temple is where Jesus put his blood. So when she is, like Doug, you were saying, his body that had been bruised and beaten and broken and the blood having not been yet offered, it was not done yet. And yeah. So, I mean, the salvation was accomplished, but that offering of the blood up in heaven was not done yet. He was just done up real well after all this was done. So he had to offer that blood. So I look at my life and I say, Lord, if Jesus Christ ascended to heaven and before that he said, you know, everything in its order, don't try to hold on to me yet, but you can do it here in a little bit, you know, just so take everything in its order. And I just want to take the things in the order that God gives it. And I don't want to rush ahead. If God says, you know, according to the text, if God says not yet, then not yet does not necessarily mean no. Not yet just means in its order, just wait. So God's got to work on some other things. This encourages me. He's got to work on some other things so that, you know, he's got to go to heaven. He's got to do some work up there. He's going to come back and it's going to be different. So, brother, yeah. It all goes together.
No, it does, and it goes together well. And I was just thinking about in our lives, those of us who've been through the trauma, those of us who've been through the junk of life, if there's one thing we're looking for in life, and that's peace. And folks, we have the love of Christ, we have the love of our family and our friends, but boy, if you got peace in your life, if you got peace, and you know, going back to the story of the army story of peace, constantly, you know, looking at what happens to deliver the peace of this world. What happens is we have submarines and ships right now floating all around the world. We have Air Force bases and Army bases. We have people stationed all over the world with weapons, munitions, bombs, whatever you want to call it, all over the world. And we think that's peace. We feel peace that we get to sit in my home tonight here at the table and do this broadcast for you guys. But the real peace, I mean, the peace that stops everything, the peace that you know you have victory over death, And I've been captivated. I'm not much of a music listener other than church music and stuff. But recently, a real famous guy died. His name's Toby Keith. And the reason I knew about him was because he had did a song one time when we got attacked around September 11th. And, you know, don't mess with the red, white, and blue, you know, and things of that nature. But recently, over the past couple of years, he's been fighting inoperable cancer. And he wrote a song, Don't Let the Old Man In. And it's kind of haunting. But he, as he wrote the song, they interviewed him. And he said he talked to Clint Eastwood, who's 93 years old. And he said to Clint, he's 94, coming up on 94 now. And he said to Clint Eastwood, how do you do it? How do you get up every day? You make all these movies. You do all these things. Clint told him three things. First thing he said to him is, don't let the old man in. Get up, go out the door, do something. Love your wife, even though Clint wasn't good at that. And know your God. There's peace that comes with that, folks. Know your God. We love you guys, and we look forward to when we all can be back together again tomorrow, continuing on with this study of the life of Christ. May God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.